You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Good Saturday morning to you. I don't mean to be rude and just jump right into the sports conversation, but there's so much to get into. So good Saturday morning, kind of a, I don't know, a rainy, dreary day, but it feels like every day is kind of a dreary day as the current status of where we are is right now. But 800-919-3776, there is so much to get into. So obviously we have the Nets. James Harden. I was just talking about this with Ty. I don't know if you feel like this, and if you're a Nets fan, of course you don't. I don't want to see any success for the Nets. No, I think they'll have tremendous success. I mean, they're incredibly talented, but I don't know. I mean, I find Kyrie Irving at this point pretty unlikable. I find James Harden to be pretty unlikable. Don't love the way that he plays basketball. I'm not denying how good he is, but I don't know. Like, unless you're a Nets fan, don't you kind of root against the Nets, the way they put this thing together? The way James Harden forced his way out of Houston? Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of my take. But the Kyrie Irving story feels like it's weeks ago. I think it was, what, Wednesday that we spent DCR, the new 5 to 8 a.m. morning show here on 98.7, DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg. I think it was Wednesday morning we spent almost the entirety of the show discussing Kyrie and how can you do that and how can you not show up and leave teammates out to dry and be doing other stuff during the game, other public stuff during the game. Feels like it's years ago at this point. So last night I'm watching it, and we'll get into the Nets certainly, and everything's kind of on the table. You know, we have a, what do we call it, a smorgasbord, is that the appropriate term? A potpourri, for lack of a better term. We have that in spades today. So we've got the Nets, obviously. Nets in action tonight, but doesn't sound like Kyrie's going to play, and this one sounds like you'll get him back on Monday. The Knicks are now, I think, 5-8, and I believe last night was the worst loss of the entire season, bar none. You played a team that's not good. That's for starters. You played a team that's not good, that didn't have three or four of their starting players, and you still lost. So if you were of the mindset that the Knicks had turned the corner and Tom Thibodeau is a different kind of coach, which he may be, and I take nothing away from him. I mean, 5-8, let's be fair. 5-8 through 13 games is still a pretty good record for the New York Knicks. But if you thought that this was, you know, they're 5-3 and maybe they can make a run at a playoff spot and things are different and they're looking up, and maybe they are, but they're not on the court right now. It's a struggle to watch them on the court. They made Andre Drummond look like Wilt Chamberlain last night. Andre Drummond, and Mike Breen is laughing about it, as Drummond is dribbling on the perimeter and going one-on-one. And this is not a good offensive player to begin with. And you watch him just back down whatever Nick is guarding him and then, you know, just overwhelm them to the basket. It was a difficult watch last night to see what the Knicks, in fact, were. So the Knicks, you know, on the table, but I don't think it's the story of all stories right now. Yankees fans, oh, okay, all right now. You can finally calm down. Take that breath, right? I heard about it for weeks. What are we doing? Cashman doesn't know what he's doing. I love that. That's my favorite narrative of the Yankees is Brian Cashman, he just doesn't know what he's doing. The game of baseball has passed him by. The figuring out finances and strategically putting a team together and trying to make a trade or sign a guy for value or any of those things, that has passed. If he ever had it, because I understand a lot of Yankees fans think that Brian Cashman is just not good to begin with. If he ever had it, that's now gone. Well, I think, guys, it may be back. I cannot believe. And we actually closed the show yesterday on DCR discussing, and I kind of threw it out there to the guys. I said, what kind of deal do you think that DJ LeMahieu gets? And I said, 5 for 100, 4 for, like, I thought he was going to get $100 million, and I thought it would be a 4 or 5 year deal. I thought you were going to get $22 to $25 million a year for LeMahieu. I absolutely did. If you would have told me yesterday morning, When the news broke, and J.P. Morosi had it, let's give him credit, and broke during our show, broke at like 6:30 in the morning. If you would have told me that DJ LeMahieu was going to get $15 million average annual salary, I would have said you were crazy. I would have bet you. Well, you could have said, I'll bet you $1,000 that he gets $15 million a year. I would have said, no, there's no way. How could you do that? He's going to get 18, 20, 22. Like, I would have said the absolute minimum he gets is 18. He's getting 15. He's arguably your best player. He's arguably right now a top five player in the American League. He went from $12 million a year to $15 million a year. and you got him for 6 years. Now you're looking, you say, well, you know, the sixth year. I mean, he's going to be a shell of himself. So what? You got him for $15 million a year. What a sensational job. And then you follow that up, because I thought 23, 4 for 95, 5 for 100, like something in that range. We didn't know, and of course the finances of Major League Baseball makes it difficult to figure out anyway. But we had no idea. And clearly we had no idea. At least clearly I had no idea, because that deal, it stuns me. So it's a great deal. You keep him in pinstripes. I don't know whether he that desperately wanted to return or there was really no other market for him, but what a terrific deal for the Yankees. And then, just to make it a little saucier and a little spicier yesterday, you add a guy who's got the potential, and we don't know what he's going to be because for the better part of 2 years, Corey Kluber has done nothing. But you add a guy that, when right, and it's a big, you know, question mark surrounding him, when right, is one of the top pitchers in baseball. So you've risked what? $11 million on a one-year deal, and he threw the other day, and he's been working with the Yankees trainers, and he threw the other day, and apparently he looked really good. So what's the risk? If he stinks, you're done with it after 1 year, and if he's good, the upside is tremendous. So if you're a Yankees fan, and I heard about it for weeks, when are we going to do something? This is not right. This is un-Yankee-like. The Mets are making moves. When are we going to get this done? Well, January 15th would be the answer of when you get things done. And I don't think you're done. I think you had at least another starter, maybe another bullpen guy. I do not think the Yankees are done. I do not think the Mets are done either. And I'm a little angry with Ken Rosenthal. Because I yesterday morning, I see this report that the Mets are on the verge of signing Brad Hand. And I mean, that's sensational news. I mean, another big-time reliever to add to the mix and make them better. And you start to get excited. And then you find out a couple hours later, no, a little premature. That, in fact, is not the case. Now, maybe it will be again. But we're not there as of right now. I don't think the Mets are done. I mean, you still don't know where George Springer is going to wind up. We don't know where Brad Hand is going to wind up. Colome, I think, is still available as well. And I can't believe the job, the deal. I cannot believe the deal that Liam Hendricks got. Again, I don't understand. Like, I'm usually pretty good at picking spreads and knowing the number that it's going to be in a game and the length of a contract and the amount that a contract's going to be. You would have told me that Liam Hendricks was going to get $3 million more a year than DJ LeMahieu, I would have said you're crazy. The White Sox paid Hendricks 3 years and $54 million, and the Yankees got LeMahieu for $15 million a year over the next six. So that's certainly on the table. Yankees, Mets, Knicks, Nets. Sounds like Monday again that Kyrie's going to come back. And it sounds like you're going to get James Harden in action tonight. Islanders, Rangers again tonight. That was awful the other night. I mean, I'm so excited. You know, it's funny. Ben, my older one, has basketball Tuesday and Thursday night. And we can't use the schools now because they don't allow that kind of thing. So he practices far away. They have to wear masks and he hates it, but whatever. So he practices far away. And his practice is Tuesday, Thursday. And Sherry and I kind of mapping out the week. I said, let me take him Tuesday because Thursday I'm locked in. Like Thursday, I don't want to be bothered with taking him to practice. I'm going to sit there and wait for him to be done. Thursday, I'm locked in on the Rangers. 10 minutes in, you're like, oh, my God. Like, you didn't want to watch it. They look completely outclassed, so they get a chance to redeem themselves tonight, 6:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN against the Islanders. And, oh, by the way, the Jets hired a coach that you're absolutely in love with. Now, the only thing I'll say, and I love the hire, okay? I absolutely love the hire. I think he's a terrific, terrific defensive mind. I think he's going to be CEO. I think he's a winner. I think bringing Mike LaFleur here as the offensive coordinator makes tons of sense. Look, they just made a quarterback who I don't think is great by any stretch look really good and was 5 minutes away from winning a Super Bowl. But I don't understand this narrative. I really don't. Of the Jets are going to now stay with Sam Darnold. That hiring Salah means that the Jets stay with Sam Darnold. That to me makes little to no sense. You can't convince me that Wilson or Fields is not going to be a big-time NFL quarterback. They both might be. One of them, I think, absolutely will be. Find that one and draft him. I don't want to go to battle again with Sam Darnold. I'm sorry, I don't. And people say, well, maybe he's going to be good. Maybe he is. I mean, maybe you're right. But I'm sorry, in 3 years, I haven't seen a lot of that. So, Jets fans, I don't ever remember a hire surrounding a team, I can almost say, that is more universally beloved than the Jets hiring Salah. Do you? I don't. I mean, maybe when the Knicks went after Pat Riley, but that's, you know, God knows how long ago now, 30 years ago at this point. I mean, the last time that a New York team hired a coach and you were just, I mean, all in on it, you haven't had that with the Jets. You certainly haven't had that with the Giants. The Knicks, I mean, you like them, but I don't think it was like this. I mean, this is just, you love this hire, and rightfully so. But I worry a little bit about the Darnold component to this. So, as you can see, it's all on the table. 800-919-3776. This is, how great of a time is this for New York sports? Really? I mean, and you look at the trajectory, the Nets are on their way up, and the Knicks, I don't know. The Islanders are terrific. The Rangers, I mean, they still the number one pick that they just landed in this past draft, and they should be a good team. The Devils, I don't know. The Yankees are, should, I mean, if the Yankees don't go to the World Series, it's a monumental disappointment. The Mets are clearly on the way up. I think the Giants and Jets are on the way up. New York sports is trending upwards, so it's a great day to have a show.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
There's so much going on that takes the back burner, but let's not lose sight of it, right? We have Rams and Packers today at, 4:30, and then at 8:15 tonight. I think for me that's the game of the weekend. We have Ravens and the Bills. And then tomorrow at 3, and I'm glad that the games are a little earlier. Tomorrow at 3, it's Chiefs and Browns, followed by the matchup of the aged quarterback, Saints, and the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think it's like, a 6:30 start. So you should be done by 9:30, and for me, that's good. You wake up early on Monday morning and get to bed by 10 o'clock. So that's where we are as far as the weekend. Islanders-Rangers, of course, tonight. Knicks and Celtics tomorrow at 12:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. I want to get to the calls. I want to talk to all of you, but this is typically the time we bring in the sensational producer of the Dave Rothenberg Show, that being Ty D. Butler. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Davido, my man. How are you feeling today? I'm good.
I mean, there's a lot going on.
So much. It's like I texted you yesterday. 3 hours might not be enough. You know how you know how sometimes they extend the K show?
Yeah.
I feel like they should have done that for us today.
Well, here's the beauty. You have Anita right after me.
Of course.
You don't need to extend the show.
No, but you extend both. So we start you at 8 and we take her to 4.
No, because let me explain why that wouldn't make sense. Because I am 9 to noon, and she goes 12 to 3, and then Gordon hops on at 3. Now, if there was nothing after Anita at 3, I could see you saying we need to extend Anita out to 4 or even 5, and maybe extend me a little bit as well. But with Gordon at 3, all our bases are covered.
That's fair. I dig it. But we do have a lot to talk about.
I actually feel, I don't know if you ever get like this, I actually feel overwhelmed by the amount of stuff there is.
Oh, absolutely. You like stories to live
so
alone.
Much stuff.
You want stories to live alone, and you don't want all that happening on a football Friday. So maybe during the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, we can get the Yankees news. Wednesday, we get the Jets news. Thursday, we get the Nets news. And then Friday, we get to, you know, talk about all of it and lead into a football
weekend.
It just
all exploded at once this week.
All
it was like
once.
Kyrie was the story, and now Kyrie is like the sixth story in New York. right? On Wednesday morning, Kyrie was the story. Then the Nets acquire James Harden. Then the Jets make a hire. Then the Yankees sign, you know, a guy that's up there for the MVP and an American League Cy Young Award winner. Then you got the NFL postseason. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It's very overwhelming.
Then you had the Knicks experience the worst loss of the season.
I can't even believe that.
Horrifying. What, Drummond?
I can't even believe. It was movie night at my house last night. So, I mean, there's a lot going on.
What did Drummond have, like 70 and 54?
What did he have, 33 and 23?
It was unbelievable.
What did he have, 14 rebounds in the – I think he had 10 rebounds in the first quarter.
Yeah. I think he had something like 16 in the first half. It was
so
amazing.
All of you, and I blame Rick and Chris for this because they push me because the Knicks are 5-3. They're like, you got to believe. I'm like, I don't believe.
Stop it.
They're like, you got to believe. I said, I don't believe. And they kept pushing me and pushing me. It was peer pressure at the finest on the show. And finally, like, fine. You want me to believe? I believe. And they haven't won a game since then.
It's trolling at the highest level. And you hear, like, Knicks fans talk about, I don't know, we can make a playoff push.
Stop
I don't
it.
Know, we could be a dangerous
they
playoff
They lost
team.
To the Nets, who had no one, and then they lost to Cleveland, who's not good to begin with, who had no one.
The Nets had, like, 4 players that night.
Very, very troubling. So now you're at Boston tomorrow at 1 o'clock, which
they
you
might
can
not
get involved with.
But they might not have Tatum and some of the other players.
So what? You know what? Fine. They could have no one. They could find a bunch of kids from, like, the suburbs of Boston and I'm not going to believe it. They just lost to the Nets, who had half their team not there, and they followed that up with Cleveland, who had more than half their team not there, and lost both.
In other words, they could have Dave Rothenberg, Ty Butler, and Jake Montgomery, and you still would have no faith in
them. I don't know about that. Not quite certain about that. So it's Boston tomorrow. So tomorrow's a good sports day. This weekend is another wonderful sports weekend. You got two NFL games today. You got Islanders-Rangers tonight. You got Knicks-Celtics tomorrow. You got two NFL games. You got the Nets thrown in there as well this weekend. I mean, this is a wonderful sports weekend.
And
wonderful.
All of that you'll talk about when? On Monday.
Yeah, Monday, 5 o'clock in the morning.
5 a.m. We're the first
word. And I think the show should be kind of the first word.
The name of the show.
Maybe. I mean, DCR is catchy, but everyone's got initials now. KJZ, DCR, the first word.
How about DCR and then the colon, the first word?
Colon?
Yeah. Like the way you write
not
it
like
out.
A picture of a colon, like just two dots.
No, right? Two dots. Not okay. A picture of a colon.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But two dots. Like the way you write it in the story is DCR, put the colon there, the first word.
I don't know how much time you're spending walking around the city nowadays. Probably not a lot, right?
Not that quite all.
But if you were to walk past Times Square, you'd see a big billboard.
I saw that. I think it was Ray Santiago who put that on Instagram. I was so happy to see that.
Yes.
You guys are sweeping the city.
Sweeping the city.
It's amazing.
Because we are the first word in sports talk.
It just shows you the value that I have. Like, I've contributed to...
Wait a minute. How is this a you thing? How does it show any value that you have?
Because here's the thing. Like, you've gotten more comfortable the last 3 years than you've ever been before. And I think it starts and ends with the Saturday show.
So you think you are pushing me to new heights on Saturdays?
Absolutely.
Let me see if I understand this. Which I'm carrying over to the weekdays, which makes that a better show, which now pushes the station to demand a billboard at Times Square.
I've shown you how to be. It's similar to like LeBron going to Miami. Pat Riley, Wade showed him how to win championships, showed him how to become a winner, and now off to Cleveland he went. So I think that's what the scenario is.
So you're like my muse. You're like my Pat Riley, is what you're saying?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And now you're you know, wallowing in all the success throughout the week, 3 hours in the morning, and
you
take your nap.
Do you wallow in success?
Well, I mean, some would argue
you can. Wallow has a negative connotation.
Yeah,
no?
But in this sense, we can make it positive. We can do what we want.
Positive wallowing happening from 5 to 10.
Love a good positive wallow.
We have a lot of phone calls, Ty.
Let's do it.
Many of them. So we'll say goodbye to you for a moment and start the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, lead us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
What's up, Omar?
I'm doing great. Happy Saturday.
You as well.
I just want to say real quick, Dave, I've listened to you guys since the beginning, and I haven't really been able to catch you guys because it's so early, but I listen to every single podcast. I haven't missed one yet.
Good.
Great job, guys.
How are we sounding? You're a fan, aren't you?
Great. You guys sound no different than 10 a.m., so it looks like everybody's sleep schedule is working pretty well. I mean, even
I have
Rick.
It down. Omar, you'd be so proud of me. I have it down so beautifully. Can I tell you what I do before you get into the Jets?
I'm always proud of you, Dave. You're a role model for everybody.
Thank you. I wish my kids felt the same way. But here's what I do.
I
sleep from like 10:30 to 4, so which is not enough. 5.5 hours does not work for me. Do the show.
Yeah.
Drive my little one to school.
Do a great show, actually.
Thank you. By 8:45 in the morning, back in bed, watch TV, slowly drift off, maybe for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever's needed. And then by 11:30, I'm starting my day, and I'm fresh and ready to go.
Good. Well, it's working very well, Dave. Very happy for you.
Thank you, Omar.
So I would just like to say, you know, being a Met and a Jet fan, this time has been absolutely amazing because things have been looking up for our franchises. And just, you know, with the Jets obviously making the big hire with Robert Saleh, I mean, you want to talk about
Saleh. We got to get it right. If you're going to have respect for the
Saleh.
Coach, say the name right. Saleh.
You want to talk about a difference? I mean, just go from Poles and Gaze, the two most, like, non-energetic people you can probably ever think of, and then to go from that to Rob Saleh, it's awesome. It really is, because you know now there's just energy. There's just an energy about the whole thing, and I'm very curious to see what they do at number two. Personally, personally, I'm a Sam Darnold believer, But there's also a side of me that doesn't really like the way he hasn't himself transformed into like a good quarterback. Like, yeah, the Jets haven't done anything to help him, but Sam Darnold himself hasn't done like just simple stuff. Like if you watch the games, like his feet aren't always set, you know, clean pocket, bad accuracy passes. So we'll just have to see. I'm very confident, very happy that the Jets, you know, and very happy that the Giants
should be, Omar. You should be very happy about this. It's a really good hire, but I do have concerns about moving forward with Darnold. Because what happens if he's not the answer and one of these other guys is? And we've done that so many times. I mean, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. You're now talking about, oh, I'd give up 3 ones and Sam Darnold for Watson. Well, you could have had for a first-round pick a couple of years ago. Right? I mean, he went right by you. I mean, there's a couple things that I think raise the red flag on Darnold. First of all, he's been here for 3 years. And outside of a couple of times, you've been, let's be honest, unimpressed with what he's done. So that's for starters. And number two, he's hurt a lot. Now, I don't want to say that he's fragile, but he's had numerous different injuries in his tenure here with the Jets so far. And look, maybe you stay with him. He's good. You draft Sewell, you move down, you stockpile picks, you do well in the draft, things change. Salah turns into a great coach, Douglas drafts well. But if you do this and you bypass Wilson, Fields, Lance, whoever else there might be in this first round, and they turn out to be star quarterbacks again, you're going to kick yourself over it again. 800-919-3776. I mean, you've seen enough from Sam in 3 years to lead you to believe that he's the answer quarterback, and now you got to pay him too? I don't know. Not for me.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Did you hear what Omar said?
What did he say?
He said, I look at you as a role model, Dave.
Well, a lot of people say that on this show.
Yeah, but I don't think that you look at me as the role model that you probably should.
Well, I used to, but now I'm, you know, I'm coming out. I'm the star of the show.
I'm just kidding. So when I'm not here, people lose nothing because as long as they have you, you hold down the fort. Is that what you're
saying? That's not true. I was actually thinking about this last night. The show works when we're both here because if I'm not here, it's not the same. And if you're not here, I'm not utilized the same way. I feel like I'm undervalued.
So I think that Omar in Brooklyn has a valid point. You need to look at me as a role model.
I do look at you as a role model.
What percentage of the callers do you think will look at me and say, boy, that's a role model? 50?
No. I'd say like 22.5%.
So one out of every four callers?
Yes. Roughly one out of every four callers.
Do you think that should be the leading question to the callers today? Do you
yes.
look at me as a role model?
Let's have some fun. Because, look, I get a lot of hate mail on Twitter directed at you and via
at
the phone.
Me?
Yes, directed at
me. How can anybody
you.
Hate me?
Because they don't like it. Like the giant thing. They just don't like
you. Because they don't like you. But
no,
how do you hate me?
I said they don't like the whole Giants passion, and you can be irrational at times. It can be annoying.
I don't agree with that. Giants passion, sure. I don't think I'm ever irrational.
You are.
No.
It's annoying, right? So every time something happens with the Cowboys that's unfavorable, what do? You go on Twitter and you CC Ray Santiago.
That's not irrational.
Who's a Cowboys. No, it's just annoying. You're like a pest.
I find it funny.
You find it funny, but if someone...
he's a huge troll, and then when I have a chance to get him back...
But if someone did that to you, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, but he's annoying about it. So if we asked every caller... do you look at me as a role model? You think one out of every four would say yes.
Yes, but I mean, how weird is it that some 55-year-old man is looking at you as a role model?
Why would that be weird?
It's like he's looking down. It's like punching downward.
It's not punching downward. I should start like a mentoring program, like a mentor-protege kind of thing.
How many of these callers do you look at as a role model?
Well, I don't really feel like I know them that well, most of them.
That's fair. But yes,
they feel this connection to me. I don't have. I mean, I like them. I love them all, but I don't know them as well as they know me.
But just because you feel a connection to someone doesn't mean you look at them as some type of influence.
You're the producer. You're paid the big bucks to lead us down the appropriate roads. Do
big
we just
bucks.
Stay with the calls, get to Stump Rothenberg, have RJ Bell, or do we actually pose this to the callers and say, do you look at Rothenberg as a role model?
Big bucks being the operative phrase, but speak that into existence, my friend. We can do that. Let's do it.
Now, here's what I need from you and Jake.
What's that?
tabulation.
Okay.
I need because I can't sit here and take the calls and come up with content and be witty and a role model and funny and all those things and keep the numbers as well.
We got you. We'll do it.
All right.
Y'all
let's start
show
with
up.
Spike in Jersey. Could you think of a better person to start with? Spike in Jersey. Spike, before we start with, I'm sure what will be sensational points from you today. Rothenberg, role model or not a role model?
You brought in a ringer, man. You know, you can't count me in on this conversation.
Spike, you are part of the masses. You're lined up as a caller. Do you look at me? It's a simple answer. It's a simple question. Role model, not a role model.
Role model for sure. I would entrust you with my grandchildren and never think twice.
There you go. Mark that down, Ty. Mark that down. Spike, what do you have today?
You're so needy, man. I love you. You're really so needy. It's why I see you smiling. Well, first of all, I'm glad that you've adjusted to the hours. Being one that doesn't miss a second of anything you do, it's seamless. It's a seamless transition. Actually, it's a little more perkier in the morning for some reason, and it was good to hear your sleep pattern. You seem to have a good grip on it.
I got it on lockdown,
Spike.
Here's what
I'm thinking. Okay. Yeah, you're just special. Listen, the NBA quickly, and then what's going on in the whole spectrum of sports. Ty said it right. There's not enough time to have really good sports talk. I'm very disappointed in Kyrie Irving, but I understand it if it's something other than what has been, you know, thought of.
I agree with you, and I think you need to kind of walk gingerly. But, I mean, Spike, you're going to family birthday parties? You know, you're going to Zoom meetings for politicians that you're in favor of during the game? I mean, how do you defend that?
Well, you know, Dave, one thing we can't assume, you know how that assume thing goes, and I'll be serious for a second. We just don't know the machinations of the makeup of this young man. He's obviously very bright and very complicated and very good ball player. But, you know, I prefer to keep it in the sports genre as opposed to the other genre. Do we really want to know? Now, I do. The answer to this is yes. How Alex does in lacrosse. You know, I would love hearing that. Maybe other people wouldn't. So I like to put that aside. My comment on the NBA, I told it to Ty, who's a diehard NBA fan, is I'm a little concerned over the COVID thing. And Adam Silver,
I mean, COVID is running rampant in the NBA now. Games are being postponed left and right.
Yeah, but did you hear what he said? The commissioner came out and they changed the protocols. They were allowed to have visitors on the road. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
You know what these NBA players are like and the demands that they probably made, so they were allowed to, and now they're not allowed to anymore.
Yeah, but the average NBA player, I know you're not physically in the presence of Ty, but the average NBA player is probably around Ty's age, I would think, and single. If they're single, I mean, this is a license, really, to have a lot of problems. However, I watched a lot of basketball. The Knicks are the worst conglomeration. You know how much I love the team. I've never seen a worse shooting team in my life.
They are really bad. They are
Barrett may be okay, but that's about it. He can't shoot.
They are a really bad. And thanks for the call, and thanks for the 1-0 victory there. They might be the worst offensive team in the NBA. They are really bad offensively. All right, so what's the tally right now, Ty?
It's 1-0, but I will admit something. I misunderstood the question. Because what I thought it was, is does the caller look at you as their role model? What it is...
You mean is there one and only role model?
No, as one of their role models. You can have multiple role models. But the question actually is, are you just looked upon as a role model, just for anyone? That's what it is, right? Okay, so I changed my mind. I'm going to go up to like 60%.
Really?
Yeah. I misunderstood the question. I'll admit that.
Okay. So now you also, if you were voting, you'd look at me as a role model.
Of course.
And Jake, you as well?
Of course I do, Dave. And if you count Omar, the first caller, then you're 4-0 on the day. It sounds like Stump Rothenberg stats right there.
Now, how are you going to score this, Ty? Because Omar started the whole conversation of I'm
yeah, but we started it after. So he's not eligible to participate.
So it's still 1-0?
Yes, 1-0. And by the way, Omar is not happy with you on Twitter because you said he was Omar from Brooklyn, and he's not. He's Omar from East Brunswick.
Oh, my God. I mean, and you had to point that out, huh?
Well, because Omar from Brooklyn is a personality on the station.
I forgot. I mean, my guy, you know what I got going on here? I'm keeping stats. I got callers. I have a ton of content. I'm on Twitter. I'm watching SportsCenter. I'm thinking about Stump Rothenberg. We got RJ Bell at 11 o'clock this morning. I'm teasing ahead. I'm thinking about what happened last night. Something's got to give. So I got the guy's place of residence wrong?
No, but the reason why I bring it up is because, like I said, Omar from Brooklyn is a personality. He's a staple on the station. So we can't, you know, get it wrong there.
James in Queens. James, role model or not a role model?
I'll only say you're a role model because of Stump Rothenberg. I wish to have as much knowledge as you do. So in some ways, yes, you are my role model.
Okay. So not only am I a role model for all of those, in some ways I'm a role model for James, in fact. James, what do you have today? That's 2-0, Ty. What do you have?
Well, in watching football this weekend, can we expect to see a Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl? I mean, just looking at the matchup, I know there's a lot of great teams right now, but...
No. Expect to see Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl? No, absolutely not. I think you can, if you wanted to take one part of that, you could say, I expect to see the Chiefs. Expect to see the Saints? No. Actually, I don't expect to see the Saints in the Super Bowl.
I think the receiving corps is going to beat Tom Brady and the Bucs this weekend.
They might. I picked them to win that game as well, but now you're going to have them go up to Green Bay and win in Lambeau Field?
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay doesn't have the same receivers as the Saints do. I mean, they have Devontae Adams, Lazard, and I think Scantling's done some stuff, too.
Well, James, but here's the thing. You're telling me, do I think that the Saints have a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Yeah, and thanks for the phone call. Of course the Saints have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Do I expect the Saints and Chiefs to fully both be in the Super Bowl? No. Absolutely not. No chance. 800-919-3776. Let's get a quick update on the role model poll. Ty, where are we at?
We're at 2-0, my friend. In favor of you being a role model.
Nice. Do we take one more? Do we break?
Let's take one more. But before we take the call, are we going to get RJ Bell involved in this? Is he going to be the final vote we cast on the day?
Maybe. He's not going to look at me as a role model. Maybe he will. I don't know.
And maybe we do some, like, electoral college situation where his vote counts for more than the average listener.
That's what we want to do. Go as outdated as humanly possible.
We can do that. And then, obviously, Jake and I have to weigh in on that.
Well, why is that? Well, but you already both gave me your tally, your vote. It's 4-0 if we include the both of you.
Yeah, but who knows? Things can change in the next 90 minutes.
They could, certainly. Matt in Queens. Matt, your vote for role model would be?
Well, I'll put it this way, Dave. I mean, I like you a lot. I think that you're very entertaining. I mean, you definitely do a good job on the radio. Role model, I mean, I don't have that many role models anyway, honestly, Dave. So, I mean, I do think you're entertaining. I've been listening to you for quite a long time. I've listened to DC off through all the time changes. I'm there at 5 in the morning because I'm up early anyway. So I certainly enjoy you on the radio. I don't agree with everything you say. Sometimes I think you get a little silly, but you're entertaining, and overall, I think you do a really good job.
I feel like you're building me up just to chop me down at the legs. You don't.
No, I'm not chopping you down at all. I'm giving a realistic, you know, a realistic assessment. You do a good job. Being entertaining is actually the best thing that can be said because, like for example, I think you intuitively understand that if it was just you talking on the radio for 3 hours with not much interplay, that it wouldn't be good because one voice for more than an hour is no good. So, like, you bringing Ty into the show and having RJ and different things that you do, see, intuitively you understand that as good as you are, as much as you love yourself, 3 hours, I'm glad you got that. Three hours of just you alone or anybody alone is not entertaining. Like, I'm listening to Mike. I've been listening to Mike Greenberg. I've been listening to Greeny for years. I listen to Mike and Mike. You know, I love Mike Greenberg. Not a criticism on him, but 2 hours of one voice is too much.
All right, Matt, listen. I love the overall station analysis, and it sounds like you're voting no for me as a role model, which I can't believe. But where are you going here with your Jets point?
My Jets point is that, well, I heard some audio of Bill Parcells on Sam Donald. Now, I basically agree with you on Sam Donald. I'm not in love with him. But
I don't know how you could be in love with him.
No, okay. But, I mean, Anyway, Parcells, there's audio on ESPN, Parcells saying that under the right circumstance, which we hope we're going into now with the right coach and getting some better players, he thinks Darnold can be, you know, a good quarterback. He didn't say he would be Patrick Mahomes, but he said Darnold would be a good quarterback. My point about Sam Darnold, and a few of the other hosts agree with me, I would not give him the fifth-year option. I would tell him to play for it. And it goes back to something that Barbara Schusen said when he was on, how when you bring in some competition for some of these quarterbacks, they play better. That's what he thinks in part, happened with Aaron Rodgers.
See, I think you're all in, Matt. I think you're either all in, and thanks for the call. I think you're either all in or you're not. If you're going to move forward with Sam Darnold, then that's it. Then he's your quarterback. So you might as well lock him up to a long term. Right? I mean, that's the answer. And I love Parcells, and I didn't hear that. But to say, I think in the right situation, he can be a good quarterback? I think you could almost take any quarterback in the NFL, and in the right situation, they're a good quarterback. Don't you? I mean, are there a lot of quarterbacks you look at and you say, if you put them in the ideal situation, they're not going to be good? Josh Allen's good in the right situation. I think Tua would be good in the right situation. Yeah, I think Darnold would probably be good in the right situation. Sometimes you have to show what you are not in the right situation. And so far, through 3 years, I've been very unimpressed with Sam Darnold. And you might say that there's a bright future there, and maybe there is, and maybe I'm wrong. But I've not seen a lot of that at this point.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
We'll see if that kind of thing is a possibility. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. We were exceptional, right, last week, Ty?
We were pretty good.
Sensational?
Yes, sensational. Shockingly, though. Very shy.
Why?
Well, because I told you, if with all the energy you expended throughout the week, waking up at 4:57 a.m.
You thought I'd have nothing left?
I thought you just emptied the tank. You had nothing left. The brain power not functioning correctly.
No, I got reserves, baby.
Yeah, and I'm happy about it. So I anticipate you're going to be great today. Big sports weekend. You're excited.
I am.
You've lost a couple pounds the last few days. I feel pretty good about your chances today.
All right. Let's go ahead now. And also, if you'd like to chime in on the do you look at me as a role model or not, 5-4 in the affirmative right now. All right, let's go. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Have at it.
So you did take an L on your first question last week, Dave, but you did rally pretty nicely.
I think I didn't lose after the first one last week.
You did not. Very, very good week for you.
Did you ask that Ray Brown question, by the way? Was that you?
Yeah. Yep, that was me. And that was brutally tough. So I'll go a little easier today on you.
All right, let's go.
We'll stay in your wheelhouse of football.
Okay.
Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski have connected on a total of 12 postseason touchdowns, which is tied with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. But who's the only other duo in NFL history to connect on at least double-digit touchdowns, postseason touchdowns?
Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison.
Is that your final answer?
No. I do like that one, though. Could be. I don't know. Could be. They do have a lot. Cody Bradshaw and Stallworth. Stabler and Biletnikoff. So what do you say? You said Rice is the most of Montana?
Gronk and Brady have 12 postseason touchdowns, which is tied with Montana and Rice. But only one other duo have double digits postseason touchdowns. Who's that duo? So they have 10.
I wonder if Antonio Freeman and Brett Favre is there. It's got to be guys that had long, storied careers. Swan? All right. I'm going to... Larry Fitzgerald. He had a lot of touchdowns. Could it be Warner and Fitzgerald? No, I don't think so. All right, I'm going to... I don't feel confident about this. I'm going to go with a Steeler. How do I get
so you going Bradshaw stolen? And...
Well, I'm going to go Bradshaw, obviously. I'll go Bradshaw. And I'll go Stallworth.
That's final now. All right.
Is that it? No?
Nope. The answer is Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman with 10. You were there. You had it.
I stink. Oh, man. That's 0-1. That's awful. And I thought about it, and I digested it, and I had it, and I mentioned it, and then I went away from it. Ugh. Terrible. Joe in Staten Island. Joe, you're next up on 98.7. Ugh.
Two things. You got to get ESPN to monetize this, like you versus the callers on a TV show. But I started off 7-0 against you, and you rattled off 5 in a row. So let's hope I get back in the W column here. Last left-handed catcher on a major league roster.
I've heard this question. It was a long time ago, too. It's got to be like 30, 40 years ago. The name that I think it's Benny DiStefano, but I'm not 100% sure.
Jeez, wow.
Is that right?
That's impressive. Yeah, that is
nice.
Correct.
We'll take that.
Wow.
One. Yeah, because you just don't, there's no reason for left-handed catchers. You know, the funny thing is I saw a video this week of Don Mattingly, left-handed third baseman, which looks very, very, very strange. All right, I can't believe I got that
I'm not happy about that, Dave. Not happy. He was undisciplined. You didn't give your final answer, and he just started vomiting all over himself.
Well, whose fault is that? Is that my fault?
It's not your fault, but you took advantage of the poor guy. He's got to be better.
Diego in Queens. You know what? For you to blame me for spitballing and him to regurgitate and be like, that's right, Dave, that's not my fault. Diego, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, Diego. How are you?
I'm good. Quick point. Can I be known as the movie guy? Because I'm the one that gave the movie question last week, so I'm going to give you another good one this week.
Maybe. Let's see. You're the one that asked me about the multiple Oscars, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was a good question last week. People, all day long, when I was out and about, people were coming up to me mentioning that question. So maybe. Let's see what you got this week.
Nationwide. All right. Earlier, you guys were talking about DCR sweeping the city. So it's going to refer to that. In the history of the Academy Awards, only 3 movies have swept the Oscars. Now, for you to answer, do you know what sweeping means? That means they won the 5 major categories.
All right. Only can you walk me through the so what is that? Best actor?
Best actor, best actress, best director, best picture, and best screenplay. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to give you one. It was 1934. It happened in one night. The other two movies, I think you could get them.
I don't know. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
You're the man. That's one.
How many am I going for here?
You need one more.
Oh, God. I know Annie Hall won a lot. So it's what? It's director, actor, actress.
Screenplay and best picture.
I know American Beauty won a lot, too.
Get this, I promise you. Unbelievable movie.
It's a good movie. Of course it's a good movie. On Golden Pond could be there. Oh, God. Silence of the Lambs could be there. The Godfather's not going to be there. Rocky? But I don't think... I think Talia Shire won for Best Actress. Silence of the Lambs. Hopkins won, I think. Jodie Foster won. The Picture won. Jonathan Demme win for Best Director? It's either Annie Hall or Silence of the Lambs, I feel like. But maybe it's Here to Eternity. I'm gonna go Silence of the Lambs.
Final answer?
Oh, God. Yes.
Dave Rothenberg, this is why my first born child will be named after you. You are correct.
Yes! Now hang on a moment. When you have a child, you will name him Dave Rothenberg.
He's gone, sadly. Oh,
I want that. Like, whatever his last... I'd like Dave first name, Rothenberg middle name. How about that work that I just did there? That was wonderful. 2-1. Jake in Caldwell. Jake, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg. This is very stressful, by the way, Jake.
Hey, guys. Not naming my kid after you, but you're definitely a role model of mine because I literally spend all week thinking of a question every week, so you definitely have that in my head.
Ty, mark it down, baby. That's another one in the good column. All right, Jake, what do you got?
In the 2020 MLB season, it was a 60-game season. One player started 61 games. Who is that?
Oh, it's got to be someone that was obviously dealt during the season. I don't know. I mean, who was dealt in this season? But there were not a lot of trades. I don't think I know. Not a lot of trades this season. No team played 61 games. I don't even want to waste time. I can't think of it. 61 games. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Let me guess. Gosh, I really have absolutely no idea. I will say... I have no idea. Someone on the Padres. Let's say Fernando Tatis.
Starling Marte got traded to the Marlins.
Yeah. All right. That's a tough question. Boy, you guys are coming strong today. These are very difficult questions. Joe in Jersey City. Joe, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, Joe. What's going on?
All right. Baseball movie quiz.
All right.
The 1994 baseball remake of Angels of the Outfield featured two actors who played California Angels who wound up becoming best actors, winning the Oscar for best actor. One of them is Adrian Brody, and who is the second one?
I mean, Christopher Lloyd was in that, but you're talking about... I wonder if Matthew McConaughey could be the other one.
Is that your final answer?
I think he's one. Yeah, I'll go with McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right. It is Matthew McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right. That's 3-2. These questions today are seriously difficult. Very stressful. We continue another lively edition of Stump Rothenberg here on 98.7 ESPN. What are we, 3-2 so far today, Ty?
We are 3-2, my friend.
I felt like I've been good, though. Like, even though I'm only 3-2, I feel like I've pretty much been on my game.
You've been better than your record would indicate.
You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because the three correct answers, the way you arrived at them, was very impressive.
Starling Marte, I should have known. And I'm angry with Jake, because Jake knew it.
Is he supposed to tell you the answer?
No, I don't think so. But something about the fact that he knew it.
I was very proud of myself. But we have all these callers all the time saying, oh, he's Googling it or you're giving him the answer. We really don't. So, I mean, at least they know that
now. If I was Googling it, I would get everything right.
Yeah, but you got to keep yourself honest. That's a dead giveaway if you're undefeated every week.
You're under a court of law. Like, you're on the stand and you put your hand on the Bible. They say, do you believe that Rothenberg cheats on Stump Rothenberg? You would say?
I would have to call the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen.
That's very well played. That was the best thing you've said today. Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead.
Dave, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mike?
All right, so we're going Top Gun.
Okay.
Val Kilmer is the Iceman.
Yeah.
What is his character's real name?
Oh, God. He's... Oh, God.
Yeah, it's funny. We're just talking about this movie last night. I don't think I'm going to know it. I don't even think I know Tom Cruise's name. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Give up?
I do. I don't know it.
Tom Kazanski.
I mean, my goodness. The level of question here is just, whew. Jake, you want to play?
Of course I do, Dave.
All right, you're up.
All right, it was a good day for my Yankees yesterday, so I have a Yankees baseball trivia question for you.
All right.
All right. Only five players in MLB history have hit more than one career home run off of the legendary closer, Mariano Rivera. Can you name one of the five players? And another amazing fact is nobody hit three. So these five players have two career home runs off of Mariano Rivera.
And they're probably not great players. Now, there's how many?
There are five. Some of them Hall of Famers.
I'm thinking, could Ortiz be there? Miguel Cabrera? How many do you want?
I only want one. But if you want to name as many as you can, as you usually do.
I don't know that I can name many. I mean, I would think Miguel Cabrera could certainly be there.
Is that your final answer?
No. I'm thinking here. How about Edgar Martinez? I mean, guys had faced him a lot. Rafael Palmeiro? Ortiz? They were game winners or just home runs in general?
Just career home runs off of Mariano Rivera. Only five players.
Miguel Cabrera.
And if you said Miguel Cabrera, that would be correct. So good job on you. You also named a couple of the other ones. You said Edgar Martinez and Rafael Palmeiro. And then to round up the group is Aubrey Huff, which is a little surprising, and Evan Longoria.
Wow, so Ortiz is not on there.
Yeah, when he asked me before the show, I said, David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez have to be on that list.
Yeah, no, that's good guesses. You just have to think of who went up against him.
Edgar Martinez was a giveaway. I thought that's the one you were going to go with.
No, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about any of them. But
he's had tremendous success against Mo.
Beast. How about that? Didn't Cabrera do it like in a series?
I think he did it twice. Didn't he do it twice in one series?
Yeah, that's what I think. Jake, did he or do you not know?
I don't know, but that sounds about right.
And one of them was a cheap one.
Oh, stop it.
Over the right field wall.
Stop
it. Was
it,
cheap. It was like a flicker to wrist.
But how about that? No player has hit three off of Mariano Rivera.
Pretty remarkable. And guys have hit three off Edwin Diaz in one series this year, every year. All right, do we take a couple more?
Let's do it, Davey.
Let's go to Mike in Rockland. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Another movie question for you.
All right.
And you, by far, are a role model, 100%.
Thank you. Tide, mark it down.
All right, so in the movie series, The Bourne Identity, what is Jason Bourne's real name?
What's his real name? I don't know. Everyone's going with the real name question.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I know it. I'm just going to pass because I want to get to another caller, too. So rather than sit here and have no idea, I don't know.
All right. The answer is Captain David Webb.
All right. So that's, I think, 4-4, maybe?
You got to start studying real names in movies.
You're not kidding. You are absolutely not kidding. All right. Let's maybe one more. Let's go to Sean in Stamford. Sean, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
What's up, Sean?
Oh, that question was so impressive on the getting all those categories and the Academy Award. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now I got one for you. Can you tell me the only sports franchise that relocate from a state capital and went to another directly.
Went from state capital to state capital?
Yes.
Oh, God. I mean, this is something I could probably figure out. Kings in Sacramento. That's what jumps out at me. Go with the Kings. We'll go with the Kings.
No, I'm sorry. It is the Carolina Hurricanes. It was the Harvard Whalers.
I covered that team, too. All right.
It's embarrassing. You lived in Raleigh.
Really? I was the beat reporter for the Canes.
You were? Didn't you do some play-by-play as well?
No, never one time.
Yeah. You've never done play-by-play?
Not of the Carolina Hurricanes.
No, I'm saying in Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
But what does that have to do? How does me having done play-by-play have anything to do whether I would know what?
No, I'm just spitting some fun facts in case anyone wants to know anything about Dave Rothenberg sitting at the dinner table.
I was the Campbell Camels.
There you go.
Yes. Basketball and football. In fact, I did a couple baseball games for Campbell as well. They went up against NC State. Guess who games I called?
Well, who would that be?
Russell Wilson.
There you go.
Yeah. Who, and watching him play in college, is not the baseball player many people think, in fact, that he is.
All right. Well, moving on.
You want to ask one?
I'm your last chance to finish at 500, so you can salvage this pathetic performance.
Salvage. We can.
So Tom Brady and Drew Brees have started a combined 585 regular season games in their career. This Sunday will be the first playoff game in which opposing quarterbacks have combined for 500 regular season starts. So they're at the top of the list. Okay. Can you tell me who's second? So this duo started a combined, 488 regular season games. That's behind Brady and Brees. So tell me the duo of quarterbacks second on this list.
To meet for the first time in the postseason or just to have the most combined starts in the regular season?
The most combined regular season starts. And now they're facing each other in the postseason.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You do know this. If you think hard, you'll get it.
Really?
You'll be kicking yourself if you don't get it.
I mean, I'm sure I would know it, but I don't just know it.
Think about it. We got some time.
I'm
rooting for you to get this question.
Yeah, I understand you can root all you want. I don't think I know it.
So you've got Brady, Brees.
Yeah, I mean, I could go. No, but Favre was young when he played Elway. I don't know.
Come on, Dave. I'm actually rooting for you here.
No, yeah, but you can root for me all you want. I don't think I know the answer.
You're going to be so disappointed.
Maybe.
Just give me a tandem. Me two quarterbacks who faced off in the postseason. Old quarterbacks. Brees, by the way, turned 42 yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday to him. And this is it. I mean, he'll be done tomorrow if he loses. Oh, I don't. You're pushing me. I don't know the answer.
You're not going to just give me it should never be allowed where you just punt on the question.
I'll say.
Don't
Peyton
punt.
Manning and Tom Brady.
Dave Rothenberg. You are correct, my friend.
Really?
Remember 2015 when Manning beat Brady in that AFC game and moved on to the Super Bowl and won the title.
All right.
I believe that was the AFC Championship game. That's why I stumbled a little bit because I don't remember if it was the divisional round or the championship game.
So we got back to 500.
500, baby.
All right. So
there we go.
I would say not even exceptional and still got back to 500.
Yeah, but it was impressive. You fought your way through it.
I did. I battled.
Sometimes you don't have your best.
And your role model record now is up to 7-4.
We'll take it. That's wonderful.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
RJ?
Hey, hello.
Ty at the commercial break, he rambled through four or five questions that I was able to answer very quickly. I know quick is not something you're much capable of. Would you like to try that?
What was the question? Like trivia question?
No. Let's let him do it. Can you just give quick answers though? Is that something you're capable of?
Me? Oh, for sure, yeah.
All right, we're going to both answer him. Ty, go ahead.
All right, RJ, let's start with you. What's the sexiest quarterback matchup of the weekend?
Sexiest? Well, it's got to be Breeze against Brady.
No, I agree. I disagree. I would say tonight. I would say Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
All right, Dave. Upset alert 4.
Now, this is enticing because you could go with one of these, like, 3-point spreads. I'm not going to do it, RJ. I'm going to go big. I'm going to say upset alert for Kansas City.
RJ?
Tampa Bay.
Quarterback, let's start with you. That can least afford to lose this weekend is RJ.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. See, I wish we had more time to really.
He's going to be 1-3, and we're going to act like he's a great quarterback?
No, I agree with you. I don't love him by any stretch. I'm going to say this, too. I originally said Mahomes. I'm going to switch it to Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers cannot lose at home to a hobbled Jared
Goff. I convinced you on that, by the way.
You did.
All right, Davido, let's go to if you could only watch one game this weekend.
Bills Ravens.
RJ.
I agree with that 100%. And doubling back, I think you're right. If Aaron Rodgers loses, it would even be a bigger import to him, though it feels less likely. I guess if you ask who losing would be the biggest, you know, like hit to their brand, I agree, Aaron Rodgers. I think since that's very unlikely, in my opinion, more likely the person that's going to be troubled by a loss is going to be Lamar.
All right, last one. The coach that has the most to gain in these NFL playoffs.
I'd say my first instinct is Sean Payton.
Yeah, I would say Bruce Arians.
Yeah, but if Bruce Arians wins, you think they're going to give him credit or Brady credit?
I think that you'd be impressed if Arians could win a Super Bowl with this team.
It'd be impressive, but everyone's going to say it's going to be like Kevin Durant and winning titles with Golden State. When you're 70 years old and you've never won one, then a 6-time champion comes in. Who's going to get credit?
It's a fair point. But I like those rapid fire questions. Ty, I think that
I do
really
too.
Nice job there.
If I'm here, I can answer.
What'd you say?
Say again.
What'd you say?
I was saying if I'm here, I'll answer.
Yeah, I know you got porch sweeping to take care of. All right, you ready for these final two games?
You know what's funny? I don't ever do any work around the house, but I did a little bit recently, and now I'm starting to want to keep it maintained, which will last about a week. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure you have people that are around the house at all times sweeping the porch.
They can't look me straight in the eye.
Bills, Ravens. You know, we talked about the first two. We have 3 minutes now, so you don't have a ton of time. What's your play on this game, and who do you like? What is it, Bills minus 2.5 now, right?
This game has more disagreement among sharps than any game I can remember this season. There's really sharp people on the Baltimore side, and the rationale there is they can run the ball against the Bills pretty much. That's the key to that. And they're just a really good team that's deceived because COVID hit them at a certain point. They had a couple bad games. On the other hand, there's a lot of people that love the Bills saying, and I think it's a valid point, not for the Hail Mary. They win 11 in a row, and even the losses that they had, it was remember that Tennessee game the Bills lost? That game, Monday morning, it wasn't sure if they were going to play Tuesday against Tennessee or Thursday against Kansas City. Both of those losses, the Tennessee and Kansas City, you could kind of excuse, which would mean the Bills are the best team in the NFL right now. So I'm staying away from the side. And let me see here. First of all, what do you think of that analysis?
I think it's fair. I think if you look at who Baltimore has played, I've been very unimpressed with that schedule. They had a good win last week. I thought they won that game due to their defense last week. I didn't think Lamar Jackson was great. I mean, he had a couple of great scrambles. He's certainly an athletic guy, but I didn't think their offense looked great by any stretch, putting up 20
points against a bottom five offense. So here's the bet. Remember now, and this isn't being discussed a ton, Zach Moss is out, the main running back for the Bills. Now, they've got a good backup or a good kind of other back, Singletary.
Let's move here, RJ. We still got another game to get to.
Okay, he's more of a spread back. I believe the Bills are going to be in 4 wide receiver because John Brown's healthy a ton. But I think the way to get at that is Josh Allen over rushing yards because he ran the ball 2 prior playoff games. He ran the ball a bunch. I think it's around 35 yards over rushing yards, Josh Allen.
All right, now you've taken so much time because I know you can never do anything quickly. The game coming up in just a couple hours, the Rams hobble Jared Goff. at the Packers, who have to be considered the heavy favorite, number 6.5 in this one.
How much time we got?
You know, you got, I don't know, a minute, 30 seconds, something in that range.
Oh, we're good. Minute 30, we're good.
No, okay. No, a minute or 30, not a minute and 30.
All right, 45 seconds it is. The Rams are the sharpest play of the week, whereas if you look at the action, it is the serious bettors taking off the rubber band. I don't like it. I do not like it. But I don't want to buck them. But here's what I know. Green Bay has the best point differential in the first half of any team. The Rams make the best defensive adjustments in the second half. I'm going with Green Bay -3.5, first half only. We're getting the strength of the Packers against the weakness of the Rams. Green Bay -3.5 in the first half.
All right, let's recap them. Evans under 65.5, Cleveland +10, Allen over 35 rushing yards, first half, Green Bay -3.5, correct?
That is gold right there, baby.
I will talk to you next week if, of course, you show up for that kind of thing. RJ, enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the games, everyone.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.